Let's get it on!
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound. Get ready for an MMA showdown. Now, the ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducrosse.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. You're listening to the one and only, the Ducrosse Brothers, the Sports Warriors, right here on Blog Talk Radio with your boys, Sean and Tristan Ducrosse.
The future of the past is upon us. Around us, everywhere you look, either the future or the past or the present, three phases, you get it.
Absolutely. Because this week in MMA, that's exactly what we are going to get. A little bit of everything from the for a combat sports fan, and that is where we will start off the show tonight.
Yep, because Bellator has it all coming down. Bellator 149 is set right now on Friday night.
See, it's interesting when you're looking at everything from the legends to the futures, to you name it, they're all on the Bellator card. So it's very interesting to see that you have Kid Shamrock, Oyce Gracie, and they're trying to break this tiebreaker. Because the first time they won, Gracie won with a rear naked choke at UFC 1 in 93. That's a big, huge gap between then and now. Fight number two ended after 36 minutes. So when you look at this fight, or look at this card, I chalk it up to almost as if it's their Super Bowl. Because you have all three phases. You have your legends. You have your sideshows. And then you have your future. So for once, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Bellator 149, perhaps, if not, could be the best fight card that's out there this weekend for any MMA fans. You look at Kid Shamrock, you look at Gracie, then you have the Kimbo Slice vs. Dada 5000. You even have Emmanuel Newton vs. Linton Vassell, and nobody's talking about them. Melvin Gillard's on the card. Derek Campos is on the card. So I like the makeup of this. And also, don't forget, Sean, is that last time Kid Shamrock headlined a Bellator MMA event, let's not forget that it was the highest viewed Bellator fight in the history of Bellator. So he's still a draw.
In some weird way, yeah, absolutely, he's still a draw. The biggest thing I see coming from this fight is the fact that Ken Shamrock and Royce Gracie is going to still draw one way or another. Is that when you look at these two people, people of their era, like you and I, didn't quite get a chance to see them fight UFC 1. Not a lot of people did because, unfortunately, MMA back then wasn't what it is now. So good, bad, or indifferent right now, I'm all for this. Because at least in my lifetime, whether I'm there or not, it's a special moment that you get to say, yeah, you know what?
I was part of it.
Even if they're past their prime, I still saw them fight. Was it good? Was it bad? It doesn't really make any difference. Either way, you will talk about that main event at the end of the night, whether it was a joke or not. That's one thing Scott Coker and Bellator has done consistently, is they don't care about, or at least this is my perception of them right now, they don't care if they get bad publicity or the good publicity.
Yeah,
all
right.
They are here to do is do one thing. Put on a fight card for the fight fans, garnering everybody from the ones that are just the casual fans, the ones that are the hardcore fans, the middle, the in-between type of people. That's what they're going for. They're not going for like the UFC. Oh, we've got the MMA fans. You can have the MMA fans.
What they're looking for right now is that entertainment side too. It's nice to have the combat sports. It's nice to have the MMA background. But at the end of the day, you look at Bellator 149, Sean, and it has a little bit of everything for the fight fan. And I want to talk about the Kid Shamrock and Ois Gracie fight a little bit more is because the fact that Kid Shamrock fought against Kimbo Slice. And whether you liked it or you didn't like it, Sean, let's be real. Kid Shamrock looked like he had a little bit left in the tank. Did he not against Kimbo Slice before he got caught?
Absolutely. And he had Kimbo Slice beat. Let's be real on that. He had him submitted with that rear naked choke.
He tapped.
Exactly. So did he look the best? No. But then again, we talked about it then and we'll talk about it now. Kid Shamrock was a physical, imposing MMA fighter. That was his style. Brute strength at its purest form.
With that attitude to go with it inside that cage.
So you look at this now, okay? Royce Gracie has not fought in 9 years. His last time he fought of anybody respectable, not to take anything from Sakuraba, but was Matt Hughes.
And he got destroyed.
He got pummeled. Then after that, he fought an aging, downside Sakuraba. Kid Shamrock has taken on people that he probably still shouldn't be taking on.
Taking on fighters above his pay grade.
But he does it because he's still a fighter. That's the type of guy Kid Shamrock is. If, and I say if, Royce Gracie has any talent level left, yeah, he has a shot at beating Kid Shamrock. But if you go back to Matt Hughes, bear with me on the comparison, people. What does Matt Hughes and Kid Shamrock have in common?
The fact that they are willing to put everything out on the line and stand there and bang.
No. Matt Hughes liked to take the fight to the ground. That's what happened in that fight. Took him to the ground and pummeled him. Because at his aging body, if you will, it was telling him it was time. So what did Kid Shamrock try to do against Kimbo Slice? Take him down to the ground. So what should Kid Shamrock do in this instance?
Take him down to the ground. But with the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu background like Gracie, who says that it's easy for him to win nowadays with the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu that he knows and that he has taught several fighters with, he honestly believes that there is nothing more superior than Jiu-Jitsu coming into this fight. And at an open weight between 205 and 170, he is heavily outweighed by Kid Shamrock. The way I look at this fight, the way that I see this fight going, is that there's not a whole lot to gain from this at all from either people, okay? All this is about pride. That's all it is. Shamrock's still trying to prove that he has a little bit left in his tank and wants to get a win because he's 0-1-1. Gracie, he's 1-1-1 in his last couple of fights. He just wants to make it even, so to what extent do you look at this fight and say that, well, we're going to see something special? You can't sit here and expect anything savvy, if you will.
But Tristan, you said that Royce Gracie says that there's nothing better than jiu-jitsu.
In this era.
What made it any different between 2007
to 2016.
There's not much of a gap there. So if jiu-jitsu was so good and he's so good at it in 2007, why couldn't he beat Matt Hughes? Why couldn't he beat Matt Hughes who had him down on the mat? It's because Matt Hughes was physically the imposer and physically the stronger of the two.
But this is funny because, like, I'm looking at this card, all right, looking at this fight, and I can't help but think in the back of my head about either one of these, is that Gracie is making fun of Shamrock because there's a photo that was circulated around about him working out in water with weights and swimming underneath it. He's like, what is swimming and water weights doing to you to make you ready for this fight?
It's doing exactly what you see it doing. If you swim underwater and you're swimming with weights, what are you trying to accomplish? You're trying to accomplish the ability to withstand punishment. How you're doing that is because when you're swimming with the weights, you're not breathing in oxygen. You're underneath the water. So basically, it's working on your cardio. So if he thought last time against Kimbo Slice, his cardio wasn't where it needed to be, him swimming underneath water is just another form of improving his cardio. So if you're Horace Gracie, don't knock that. Everybody has their own unique style of training.
Look,
Ken Shamrock has always been the person that has done stuff differently than others. He's tested the boundaries more so than everybody else has in the game.
Something that I like about this is that here's a little bit of inside information for all of our listeners, okay? I'm going to put everything out on the line here right now to all of our listeners and everybody that is in the chat room. If you want to talk to us, please come on over. Talk to the boys right here in the chat room on Blog Talk Radio. This is where it's going to get very, very, very intense. Kid Shamrock left, okay, San Diego Fight Academy out here in San Diego. We have been around this game for a very long time. What Kid Shamrock did or didn't do in part of the SDCA out there, I don't know. It didn't work for him last time. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't work for fighters out there. Just saying. Kid Shamrock has decided that 52 years old, it's time to go back home. He got on the phone with his adoptive brother, Frank Shamrock. Spoke to Frank. Had a very, very intense conversation between the two. And about the future of Kid Shamrock. One thing led to another. He then got a hold of Guy Metzger. And then all of a sudden, the Lion's Den is back. Metzger was the number one reason why they decided to go and bring back the Lion's Den. He's been training with Guy now for the last several months, working out and training with his brother. And now Frank Shamrock will be in the corner of Ken Shamrock for this fight, as he will refer to them as the old school Lion's Den, where his attitude, his aggressiveness, it's all back, because he feels that this will be his last glory run. And why not do it the only way he knew how to do it?
You just hit it after talking about the expectations of this fight, Tristan. You just hit it at the end of that, what I've been saying. Lion's Den. Aggressive. Attitude. What did I say Ken Shamrock needs to do to beat Royce Gracie?
Needs to bring the attitude. Needs to bring the aggressiveness.
In the end of it, Royce Gracie is going to fall victim again. Our boys from Fight Book says Ken needs a KO in the first round. I say, let's make this interesting. Round two, KO by Ken Shamrock.
Okay. Let's put this out to the MMA world.
Wait, let me guess. You're going to say he's going to submit him in the second round.
There you go.
You're insane. But what we know we won't see is submission or talent.
What in, talent? Did you see the open workouts?
In Kimbo Slice versus Dada 5000. If you've seen the video, Dada 5000 had to be taught and shown how to throw a punch and an elbow.
Look. If both men come into this fight and have such bad blood between each other, wouldn't at some point you would have thought that Dada 5000 would have known how to throw a punch? Like, if you have a trainer that is telling you, hey, you need to throw a left hook, throw an elbow, throw a right cross, left cross, hit him to the body. If you need somebody, you're not going to have a guy in your corner. You're telling me that your cornermen are going to yell at you every 2 seconds, throw a left, throw a jab, throw a hook. You can't have somebody yelling out something, because then, unfortunately, Slice is just going to knock him out.
When I was watching that, I couldn't help but think the conversations you and I have had about throwing punches and you unable to throw a left.
I can't go left. Not my problem.
I get that. But to see somebody that can't even throw a punch in any shape or form is just ridiculous. And they're in a legitimate fight. How you get a fight because you're a YouTube sensation like Kimbo Slice, beating up bums in the backyard, like Dada 5000 is known to do as well. Why we're even here is beyond me. Unless it just simply got personal because Kimbo Slice beat him with the most views on YouTube?
Maybe Dada 5000 DM'd Kimbo Slice. And all of a sudden, it got real personal.
Kimbo Slice has a unique name. Kimbo Slice. That is a pretty cool name. I'll give him that. So where did Dada 5000 get lost in the nickname area, considering that Dada sounds like it's a misname from a baby trying to call his daddy Dada?
Dada! Dada!
But you look at this and you wonder about how this fight all started. And it starts because of the pride aspect. And my notes simply said WTF. All across. Like you know those high school books that you slam people and you just write every bad thing known to mankind?
You had a slam book?
So this is what this reminded me of. It was, I just wrote WTF all the way across. But then I went back and I said, well, Bellator, Pride, one of the same, almost kind of going the same area, but there's many of the freak show fights that people love and have admired over the course of the years.
Hold on. Shouldn't we just go Nintendo 64, the WWE video game back in the day, and just take both these fighters and like Fight Book MMA in the chat room said, put them in a parking lot. I'm just going to say, just might as well make it a video game and say that it's the WWE from N64 days and call it is what it is. Maybe we'll get a little bit of a chair, a swinging chair. Maybe we might get some fire extinguisher going. Who knows? Just take off the 8-ounce gloves, stick them outside. You want a YouTube sensation. Well, let's go.
Well, the only way Dada 5000 knocks out Kimbo Slice if he takes off the gloves.
Right.
That's the only way.
He can't throw a punch.
At least Kimbo Slice can throw a punch. At least Kimbo Slice can probably score a takedown. This is going to be awkward.
Dan B. Severin can walk into that cage and knock out Dada 5000.
I think
with Walker in tow, Pat Miletich can walk into that cage and choke him out.
But Tristan, to go back about talking about the freak shows that people have seen over the course of the years in the comparison with Bellator, I mean, you've seen Mirko Krokop fighting masked wrestler in Pride. You've seen Butterbean fight in 2006 at Pride Bushido 12. You've seen Jose Canseco versus Hongman Choi.
You've seen Bob Sapp cry.
So there's a place
for everything.
And Bellator has found that common medium of bringing the Pride Days from Japan and said, well, it works in the United States. Who would have thought that? Scott Coker is a mad scientist. He's a genius.
That's exactly what he is. Too bad you can't say the same thing about Melvin Gillard, eh?
Melvin Gillard, if he doesn't beat Derek Campos, he needs to retire. Because this is another test, okay? When you look at what Brandon Gertz did to Melvin Gillard, was manhandled him from the time of the fight to the end of the fight by simply grappling him. Derek Campos is that similar style.
Right.
So if he couldn't beat Brandon Gertz, what makes him beat Derek Campos?
Dude, but how sad is this, really?
You begin, and that's where I'm going, because you begin to wonder, Tristan, if at the age of 32, and here's a trivial thing for you folks out there, who has had more fights? Ken Shamrock or
Melvin Gillard?
Melvin Gillard is one fight below Ken Shamrock at the age of 32. Ken Shamrock is what, 49?
52.
Oh, Royce
Gracie is 49.
Yeah. So,
but still, 52 years old and a 32-year-old, and you're talking about the wear and tear on your body. You already can see what it's doing right now to Ken Shamrock. But when you look at Melvin Gillard, here's a guy that, you know, we talked to Jason David Frank a little while back, and Jason David Frank was on our show, and Melvin Gillard was there, and we spoke to Melvin Gillard, and good young kid back then. But you look at Derek Campos, and here he is. He's just a glorified gatekeeper for Bellator. Because he's the type of guy that, you know, you put in a fight to see, it kind of like an evaluation fight, if you think about it. Because we always tell everybody that every single promotion has a gatekeeper in a weight division. But it's interesting for him to be this type of gatekeeper.
Bellator has so many people that are gatekeepers. Gonzalez, Derek Campos.
But it's interesting because Campos, in my eyes, is like an evaluation fighter.
If you can beat him, you're on the right trend. I can see it. But what's on the right trend here as we go out into our first break of the evening is Emmanuel Newton versus Linton Vassell gets version 2.0. Linton Vassell is a beast through and through. Emmanuel Newton is a different animal. Always has been. You're beginning to wonder, though, what's gone on with Emmanuel Newton in the last two fights?
His quirkiness, his style, does it benefit him in MMA? Like, everybody thought that he was this great fighter, but he hit King Mo with a spinning back fist and made rounds around the internet.
And then avoided numbers of submissions by Linton Vassell.
Right, but at what point do you actually look at the skill level? At the skill level.
Between the two, it's night and day. I think Linton Vassell
has that edge.
Has that edge, clearly. But there's something about unique quirkiness and the ability to absorb what he does and still tick.
And it's funny because this card could have been a main event on... this fight could have been a main event on any card.
Absolutely.
What is Spike TV card? But that's what I'm saying. This is like their Super Bowl. Like, think about it. Ken Shamrock, Royce Gracie, Linton Vassell, Emmanuel Newton, Melvin Gillard, Derek Campos, and probably the fight to watch, period, around just by pure skill and interesting, period, is Daniel Pineda, who's a veteran, versus Emmanuel Sanchez, who's the future. So, again, this is what we're talking about. The future, the past, the present, it's all on this card. You can't ask for much more. There's a little bit of everything just dabbled into this. And I mean, it's like if you're hungry and you're looking at that big old nicey juicy tri-tip steak. That's what you want. And that's what you're going to get at Bellator 149. So you all better be freaking ready for this card. Because it is stacked from the top to the bottom. So, Sean, we are doing Cross Brothers Sports Wars. We are going to be joined up next with former Bellator Titan FC fighter Desmond the Predator Green, a.k.a. Toon Winning. He's joining you boys right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Excelsior, Imperis Rex, live long and prosper. Up, Up, and Away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
You are listening right now to the DuCrosse Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the DuCrosse Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the DuCrosse Brothers, the Sports Warriors, right here on Blog Talk Radio with your boys, Sean and Tristan DuCrosse. Sean, we had the pleasure to talk to Desmond the Predator Green, a.k.a. Toon Winning, about his future, about why he has chosen to leave Titan FC. What happened? Here's Desmond Green sitting down with the brothers. We are the DuCrosse Brothers Sports Warriors here with Desmond Green. Desmond, you were slated to fight at Titan FC, and it has now come out that you will not be fighting Pat Healy as you are a free agent. You have chosen to go to Russia. What prompted this whole entire swing?
Really, just opportunity in itself. I'm a young fighter. It's weird. For like the last year, I've had this itch to fight overseas, and I had one opportunity kind of slip through my hands. So when this one came about, I thought it was a great idea. You know, it's good money, some good competition, well-known tournament. So, you know, I figured I'd go there and win this tournament, and, I could really make it, I already got a name, really get the buzz and, maybe push for a UFC contract with a, championship tournament run.
Desmond Green, Sean here. Is this tournament one night, or is this spread out over a course of a couple days?
No, more than a couple of days. So the first round is in March, March 12th. I'll be fighting David Kubas. And then the second round is in May. I'm not sure the date yet. And then the finals will be in August. So, it's over a course of a couple of months.
Now, Desmond Green, Tristan here. Now, you've had a shot in a tournament style before when you were with Bellator. What makes this a little bit different than what Bellator was doing, that in Russia, the Grand Prix lightweight tournament that you're going to be in, intrigued you?
Because the time off in between semis and finals, you get kind of get 2 months. So, my last tournament run, I made it to the finals. But you got 4 weeks in between. And, after fighting twice in 4 weeks already, your body's a little beat up. You don't train like you used to. And, because I was young, that was my first year ever training, period. So, I just took a lot from that just in general. So, I do like that you get a little bit more time in between the semis and the finals. So, I think it's going to be in my favor because, of course, I think I'm going to win the tournament. So, I like that break we get, from May to August.
Desmond Green, Sean here. Why the jump up in weight? Why now?
Really, because I've been having such a hard time making 145. You look at three fights ago, I had to cut a little bit of my hair. The next fight after that, I had to cut all of my hair. And then, the fight after that, I missed weight. I had to, go and do an extra half a pound. And I really started to see it, playing in my performance. And I guess I just thought, I had to be smart about things and, realize just because I can't make the weight doesn't necessarily mean that I should make the weight. I'm a wrestler, so I know how to lose weight. I know how to get in the sauna, run with a sauna suit on, starve myself. But, I'm finding as I grow into the sport, it's just not always the best plan of motion.
Desmond Green here with the DuCrosse Brothers, the Sports Warriors. Yeah, you talked about cutting off your hair. How is the hair? Has it came back quite nicely now?
Yeah. It's growing. It's making baby steps. I'm optimistic, so, I found some good in it. My son is 2.5, and I wanted him to have dreads anyway. We're going to dread his hair regardless. Now we get to do it together. So, probably his third birthday, we'll both go to, have my girlfriend, his mom, cut her up. you know, that way we'll start that journey together. So it's going good.
There you go. Journey together, journey on your quest in the lightweight division and tournament Grand Prix. I mean, you couldn't put it all together all at once, right?
Say that again. Sorry about that.
You couldn't put it better together like you are doing right now. Going the dreads together with your son, going to Russia. I mean, you couldn't put it all together and lump it all up any better.
Oh, yeah, man. It's definitely a good time right now. You know, 2016, you know, I said before it was at the end of 2015 that 2016 was going to be my year. And I really said this tournament is definitely going to be able to help me, you know, open up and, you know, make truth to that statement.
And earlier, Desmond Green, you touched on hoping that this continues to get your name out there in this tournament and hopes of getting that UFC contract. Is Bellator still something that intrigues you with the new regime over there, or are you just focused on trying to get to what people classify as the big show in the UFC?
To be honest, I'm trying to get to the UFC. You know, the money is great in both now, you know, better than the UFC, of course. I'm not really in it for the money. I just want to be known as the best fighter in my weight class, and the only way that could be possible, I feel, is if, you know, you deem that title in the UFC. You know, even the Bellator champs, there's still that question of, you know, how good were they doing in the UFC, but, you know, if you're a UFC champ, they don't really say how good were you doing Bellator, so I'm gunning for the UFC goal.
But Desmond Green, Tristan here, but if you go to the UFC for the UFC goal, you have an uphill battle in the lightweight division, though. Are you ready to take that next step in your career and in your future to finally say, you know what, the Predator's here, and this is, and you're going to stake your claim?
Oh yeah, definitely, for sure. You know, I know I have a ladder to climb at 155, but you know, it just makes for a better story to tell once I'm at the top. So, you know, I'm looking forward to everything that entails. And you know, I'm in a great place. I'm in a great camp. You know, we got monster 155 pounders just in our room with the Black Zillions Rome. You know, between Michael Johnson, Abel Trujillo, Gilbert Durino, Danilo. You know, we got a lot of guys. Eddie Alvarez. So, you know, I already know what it's gonna be, and you know, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I love competition.
At the Black Zillions, you got also one of the perhaps premier grappling coaches in Neil Melanson, also over there now training.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Neil likes me a lot. We've been getting work in. So, you know, that's definitely another positive, too. Not to mention, we got 3-time national champ Greg Jones, who's our wrestling coach also. You know, people forget that. So, you know, and then we got Henry Hoof. I'm just surrounded by great guys up here.
The DeCross Brothers, the Sports Warriors, here with Desmond Green. Desmond Green, so wrestler, being trained by a great wrestler, being trained by a great grappler, is it safe to say that your ground game is starting to elevate to a whole nother level?
Yeah, definitely. Between Neil and Greg, you know, I'm learning how to control on the ground, and you know, between my wrestling that I already knew, it's just getting more dominant and making for me just, you know, it's a more dominant fighter in general.
How confident are you feeling in your submission game now?
My submission game. It's good, you know. I was actually purple belt. I lived in Canada for a year. You know, I got purple belt under Faraz Zahabi, who's, you know, a wizard in his craft. So, you know, but I'm not really a submission guy. I like grabbing control and then, you know, striking. And it, like what Neil does is Neil really helps you capitalize on ground and pound. So, you know, more than my submission game, I'll say my ground striking has just improved a lot.
So Desmond Green here with the Sports Warriors with Sean and Tristan Ducross. Tristan here. Desmond Green, you just brought up that many people tend to forget that you spent a year in Canada and you were training with like GSP and all the guys from TriStar. What was the transition period like when you decided that, you know what, Black Zillions was going to be your home and not TriStar?
Well, I had that decision was kind of forced for me. And it was a tough decision to make. I kind of didn't know which one I wanted to do because they're both great camps in their own respect. But I was going through some legal troubles and I couldn't get into Canada. And, you know, I still can't. So, you know, that kind of made that decision for me, you know.
Desmond Green here. One last question going out. Everybody that's at the 155 in the UFC, who would you want to fight? Why? And what intrigues you the most?
I want to fight Conor McGregor because he took out my man Aldo. That's my role model. I loved him. So I got to avenge him, and he talks too much. So that's what I'm gunning for. But what was the rest of the question?
You just answered it. You want Conor McGregor. It seems like he's the guy everybody just wants to punch in the face.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I want to. He talks too much.
So who do you got, Desmond? RDA, or do you have Conor McGregor?
I'm going with RDA. He's on fire right now. You know, McGregor's great, so I wouldn't be surprised if he pulls off the W. But I'm gunning for RDA.
Is it going to be a decision, or is Conor McGregor going to get knocked out?
I don't know. I'll probably go with a KO, TKO.
There you have it. Desmond Green putting it out there for everybody. RDA, TKO, or KO, knocking out Conor.
All right, thank you, Desmond Green, for joining the Sports Warriors today. It was a pleasure to have you on the show.
No problem. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There you have it, folks. Desmond Green laying it all out there of what's next on his future after life after Titan FC. Grand Prix, Russia, March 12th starts. I mean, if he does and he does what everybody knows he's capable of doing, his name's going to get further out there than it already is with Titan FC.
He's so young still.
He is. Titan FC lost a very good fighter. But then again, did they really lose him? Did they really lose him? Because Titan FC is kind of underneath the umbrella of UFC. All it is that I think him leaving to get more recognition.
To come back for his UFC debut.
It makes sense.
Right.
So, I mean, I couldn't ask for anything better because he made a good business choice, it seems like. So, stay tuned for where Desmond Green's going to be fighting in Russia for more information on that. Thank you to our one of our guys that hooked us up with that interview.
Ryan Levick.
So, good luck for his future endeavors and what's to come for Desmond Green.
People have to be on the lookout for this kid, though. Because he keeps getting better. With every single fight he takes, he keeps getting better.
And now he's with the Black Zillions. Uh-oh.
Like, you saw him improve when he was at TriStar for a year. Imagine what he looks like right now with the Black Zillions camp.
That's true. But he still wants to stand up and bang. That's still his style. That's still what he wants to do.
I wouldn't change it. Showcase your talent. Like he said, dude, now he can go ground and pound on people too. So that's what I like about this. He was open and honest. But Sean, we got to find out who the real cowboy is. And we're going to find that out at UFC Fight Night 83, apparently. Who is the real cowboy? We'll find out. We'll give you our opinion on it. More with the Ducrosse Brothers Sports Warriors with Sean Tristan Ducrosse right up after this.
Excelsior, Imperis Rex, live long and prosper, up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
You are listening right now to the Ducrosse Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the Ducrosse Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com.
What's up, everybody? We are back. We are your boys, Sean and Tristan Ducrosse, the Sports Warriors. It's what we do every Wednesday. Bring you the real, honest opinions of combat sports. UFC 83, Fight Night. Headlined by Donald Cerrone's move to welterweight against Alex Oliveira. Out is Tim Means due to steroids. Call it what it is. Tim Means got buzzed for steroids, and I really like that because they were building it up that here's Donald Cerrone, here's Tim Means, both from New Mexico. Their fight gyms are in New Mexico, and they're talking about the different size, almost kind of like it was, what is it called? ATT and the Black Zillions. That kind of gym versus gym attitude. But instead, Donald Cerrone gets thrown into a fight against Alex Oliveira. And I'm a little bit torn about whether or not this is a good matchup or a bad matchup for Donald Cerrone.
I think it's a bad matchup for Donald Cerrone, if you ask me, when Alex Oliveira is a natural 170. Donald Cerrone's moving up to welterweight to face bigger fighters. He recently got destroyed by RDA.
In a title shot, let alone.
So it leaves a lot to be desired about what exactly is Donald Cerrone thinking about moving up to welterweight to face bigger guys than what he actually is. That means that the bigger they are, the harder they throw, the harder they kick.
And the harder they fall, though.
So, I would like to see Donald Cerrone hold down the fort because I'm a Donald Cerrone fan. I think he's good for the sport. But if he gets beat by Alex Oliveira, I don't know what's next for him. Because he would take two back-to-back losses. One was horrific from RDA. And then you've got Alex Oliveira. If Alex Oliveira comes in and beats Donald Cerrone, then that catapults him easily into the top five in my eyes.
See, I'll tell you one thing. I know for a fact that Donald Cerrone won't pull a Ronda Rousey, though, and think about crying in a corner and committing suicide. I don't think...
Too soon, dude. Too soon.
Donnie Cerrone is all about excitement, though. Right? Donald Cerrone likes to have these go-out-of-the-way type fights that you versus me, mano a mano. Let's just go out there and have a good old fight.
And that's what Tim Means versus Donald Cerrone would have brought you. Right. That's what this one does not. I was looking at the rest of the card, and the rest of the card just made me want to go to sleep. Again, you put on two lackluster cards that doesn't intrigue anybody else outside of the main event, and that's it.
You have Kiwajari versus Dennis Bermudez. That's the only other namesake that is on this card because you got Derek Brunson, who's the co-headliner, versus Carneiro. And let's just... Carneiro is 37 years old. Went 2-5. As my brother's falling asleep right now about talking about UFC Fight Night 83. Dennis Bermudez is is a guy that is still trying to find himself, refine himself. So what's the point? Kiwajari at 37 years old was supposed to be this next big thing out of Japan for the UFC, and he has had no wow moments. So this is a debatable moment for him versus Dennis Bermudez. But there's nothing that can save this card. Where when you look across the bow at WSOF 28.
Oh, we're still talking about UFC Fight Night 83? Really? There's just nothing to it. There really isn't. I'd rather take my time and that you've got a free shot across the bow on TV on NBC Sports Network. Not on Fox Sports. But you have World Series of Fighting 28 going down. That to me, the fight card is a little bit more intriguing. It's in Orange County.
And it's paired up with
Bama USA. So Marlos Morris versus Joseph Barajas is headlining that fight card for the bantamweight title. Marlon is defending that title. But just in itself to see that this fight promotion is being co-promoted by Bama USA and World Series of Fighting. The first 10 fights on the card or Bama USA, followed by the four main fight card fights of the night for World Series of Fighting. But just the first two headliners. I mean, you want excitement? Morales. I'm going to butcher that one for a minute. Joseph Barajas, the main event. Going to feature bantamweight. You got Timur I'm going to butcher this one again. My apologies. Tumor Valiff versus Chris Gutierrez. Woohoo! Got one out of two.
Got two
out of four. But you look at that. Two bantamweight fights headlining this fight card. You know you're going to get excitement with 9 out of 10 out of bantam fighters. They're exciting from the start to the end. You look at the main event. You've got Joseph Barajas, who's a grinder. And he'll look to take this fight to the mat because that's the style of fight that he is. Marlon, though, is going to want to keep the fight on the ground just to avoid getting the takedown.
See, when you look at Barajas versus Marlon, to me, this is ridiculous to have Marlon versus Joseph Barajas because you got a champion versus the number fourth ranked person in the bantamweight, but you have two and three ranked fighting each other. Now, the only thing in the back of my head that makes me actually like this theory is that Valiv and Gutierrez, who is ranked 2 and 3 respectively, is that which star are you really trying to build here to get to ultimately Marlon? Because nothing to take away from Barajas, but it looks like they're trying to give a little bit more legitimacy to the bantamweight title. So you build up two fighters that either or the two or the three wins. It looks better on paper when you go get your title shot.
I completely agree. I think that is exactly what they're doing. And I think it's actually relatively smart is that if you don't have a lot of standouts in the bantamweight division, why not put two of your top dogs against each other to fight for that number one contender spot? Makes sense. Who would have thought it?
Right? Showcase them. That's what they're doing. I'm more interested in that fight
than the main event.
Because it is exactly that. You're showcasing these two. I like that aspect. Another thing that I like about this is that, like we said it, they're co-promoting with Bama USA for Bad B18. Joining this. They're going to be under the undercard. What is awesome about this is that we have always been about the grassroots MMA. WSOF has done this once before about bringing another promotion on to kind of save a card. With Bama USA, 18 fighters, they don't have to pay.
18 fighters, they don't have to pay, but also for World Series of Fighting, if you're also looking at this, I'm not looking at the aspect of 18 fighters they don't have to pay. I'm looking at the aspect that Bama USA has some legitimate talent.
Right.
You put 10 fights on this card, kind of like a tryout audition. Yo, that guy was good. That guy was good. That guy should be here. We should sign him. You want to know how many people probably walk out with contracts that night? If you put on a legitimate show that shows World Series of Fighting that, hey, this is something pretty legit. They've got some good talent.
But this is what WSOF should have done from the beginning. Because they always preached about the fact that they're grassroots.
And they started that whole thing a while ago of their show where it was supposed to be starring grassroots. I forgot what it was, but they had that development.
And then it just kind of went by the wayside and nobody cared about it.
I kind of like this. So you look at what's going on this weekend. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. And if you're a fight fan, there is so much in this that you're going to enjoy. Probably the only one you're not going to enjoy is like I was doing, was falling asleep.
For the UFC Fight Night 83. It's okay, Sean. It's okay. We got WSOF 28. We'll be saved.
Or we got Bellator on Friday. So we got a balance in between.
They're like a big giant Oreo right now. They are the UFC Fight Night 83 is like the feeling that's in the Oreo where you twist off the top and you lick it clean. And then you eat the two cookies on the outside. Because then the two cookies is actually the best part. Just lick the cream. Bye. Done with you. Be gone. So, combat sports fans are in for a huge treat this week. I mean, you even have RFA coming up this weekend too. Like, this combat sports, folks, people, don't sleep. Get your DVR ready. Get Access TV ready. Get Fox Sports 1 ready. Get NBC Sports Network ready. Get Spike TV ready. And your whole entire list should be all fights this week.
Right? If you can't be there, you might as well tape them all. But speak about tape. Ronda Rousey did her first interview on Ellen this past week.
Look. Ronda Rousey, I don't like her. Just going to be blatantly honest here. I don't like her. But the issue that I have is more with the so-called fight fans. Didn't think I was going there, did you?
It depends on where you're going with the fight fans. Because you can still take things completely sideways and inappropriate. So it depends on where you're going if I'm going to cut you off in T-minus 2 seconds.
The fight fans have been so quick to jump down Ronda Rousey's throat.
You included.
I'm not going to deny that. I just said that. I'm not a huge fan
of
her.
I know, I'm just saying.
But for everybody to knock her for losing, question her heart, or question her about whether or not she was truly going to commit suicide or not. Like, to what point, Sean, as a fighter or as a person, is it enough? Like, she can't buy a break, let alone buy a vowel. This is so gone way overboard about the continued bashing on Ronda Rousey about her psyche, about is she a true fit in MMA? What's her agenda? To what extent should these keyboard warriors be allowed to continue to bully or push somebody?
It's always going to happen. It's always going to be there. It just simply doesn't matter.
But do you
the only thing I will say on this, and I'll keep it short,
leave her alone,
is what Ronda Rousey said on Ellen. There are some things I didn't like. I don't like the fact that she created another trademark, FTA, which stands for F them all. Think that's inappropriate for a woman who classifies herself as wanting to be a role model to the younger generation. And by her admitting her suicidal thoughts, she kind of pushed that boundary to absorb that type of people to say, hey, look at me. I've had that type of thought. I'm indifferent on that and kind of don't like that approach. But I'll leave that alone. The one thing I did like, that if she wants to be a role model and you want to throw all that nonsense aside, one thing I did like is her words that she said, I choose to be undefeated. I lost to Holly Holm, but I choose to be undefeated in my life. That is perfect for everybody in life that has been beat up, put down, bullied, tossed by the wayside, whatever it may be. You should always remain undefeated because you should never let anybody in this world push you down, put you into a box, label you one way. You should always remain undefeated. That's what I think and what I like the most from Ronda Rousey. Now, the other thing we will touch on here going out, and again, I'll keep it short because we don't know all the facts. BJ Penn is in the headlines again for wrongdoing. I was talking on my Facebook about this situation.
That you can find at Sean Ducross.
Is that when you look at this, it sounds like a lot of finger pointing. Oh, I got fired. I'm going to blame him. He did this. He did that. But here's what we do know. BJ Penn has been around the block for years, accused of a number of things. Most recently, he was arrested for beating up or in an altercation, scuffle, whatever you want to call it, back on January 16th with a friend of his.
This is true.
Remember, friend. Okay? Now he's being accused of sexual assault by a former writer, Pedro Alex Carrasco, who says BJ Penn is a coke addict and assaulted his Playboy girlfriend while they were on a trip. Then it was corroborated by their MMA photographer, Cynthia Vance, who at the time of this was filming a documentary on BJ Penn. Both Cynthia and Pedro were both out on the island Hawaii in the middle of nowhere filming this documentary while BJ Penn was back at home where Pedro's girlfriend allegedly was. Cynthia Vance has since reported that she has sided with Pedro and that there was other terrible things that happened that weekend and put her in dangerous situations that prompted her to get a first flight ticket out immediately out of Hawaii. What these are, we still don't know. When will we know all these facts? We still don't know.
In due time.
Are they true? You've got two that says they are. BJ Penn has been in trouble, so you can kind of see where it could be true, but whether it is, you don't know. But how bad is this is the fact that BJ Penn has announced that he was coming out of retirement.
And then this comes out.
And all this comes out. Makes you wonder
if it's actually legit.
I guess we just got to wait till the facts come out, people.
They want money.
So bite your tongue a little bit before all the facts come out. And just stay true.
Absolutely. We're the new Cross Brothers, the Sports Warriors. That is all we have for the show until next week. We should be joined by Scott Kane of Lion Flight, among others. So stay tuned. Follow us on our Facebook, Sean and Tristan Ducross. You can like our fan page, the Ducross Brothers. Look at our website at www.thehotspotshow.com. Until next time, we're out.
Let's get it on!
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound. Get ready for an MMA showdown. Now, the ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducross.